Jesus asked the question as he stood by the Sea of Tiberias there, the Sea of Galilee. He said, "Children, have you any meat? Did you catch any fish?" Now, there were seven disciples there, five we know by name, and two, and it just says two of the other disciples. And so of the seven, four of them were experienced fishermen. Or I'm sorry, three of them were experienced fishermen. Peter was there. He was a fisherman. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, were there. They were experienced fishermen. One of the two others may have been Andrew. We don't know. I'm going to mention why I think Jesus left those other two unnamed in just a minute. But three of the seven were experienced fishermen and fished on this lake many, many times. They'd made their living for it before Jesus called them to catch men. And he came and he stood and he said, "Have you caught any fish? Do you have any meat?" And the disciples had to say, "No. We fished all night and we've caught nothing. One day we will stand on another shore. We will meet the Savior face to face. The question will not be, how much success did you have? How much money did you make? How large is your bank account? How much influence did you have on this earth? What political office did you hold? How much applause did you get? How many awards did you win? How many medals were pinned on your chest?" Nobody will ask those questions. The question that will be asked, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And do you have any meat? In other words, are you saved? And have you brought anybody to heaven with you? When he called his disciples, at least the first two, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we can gauge how well we're following him by how many we're bringing to him. Tonight, I want to examine the question, children, have you any meat? These experienced fishermen, at least three of them, had to say no. I want to point out to you, first of all, I don't think there was any problem with the ship. I don't think there was any problem with the boat they were in. Perhaps it was Peter and Andrew's old boat. Or perhaps it was James and John's, or Zebedee, their father's boat. It was a boat that no doubt sailed many days and many nights on the Sea of Galilee. It may have been, again, the one that they'd used in their fishing business. It may have been a ship that had been passed down from generation to generation. James and John's grandpa, or Peter and Andrew's grandpa, or their great-grandpa may have used this same ship. I don't think there was any problem with the ship. It may have been the same ship that disciples, Peter and Andrew, were outside of cleaning their nets when Jesus called them and said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." It may have been the one that James and John were in when he called them to be a disciple. There wasn't any problem with the ship. The ship wasn't the cause for them not to catch any fish that night. I think that ship talks in the Bible. The ship talks about the New Testament church. I don't believe there's anything wrong today with the New Testament church. Now, I'm not standing up here and saying we don't have problems in our churches. I think if Jesus would come today, he would say the same thing that he said to one of the churches in Revelation when he says, "I have something against you." And there's probably things in every church that could be better, that could be more in his will and more pleasing to him. But I still believe that God blesses the New Testament church, the idea of the doctrine, the philosophy that's spelled out in the book of Acts about the New Testament church. There's nothing wrong with the New Testament church today. Disciples came back. If they came back, they'd probably be shocked at some of the things that they saw. I mean, they didn't get to see an automobile. They would be shocked when they saw an airplane. As they came into our churches, they'd be shocked because, you know, we have furnaces and we have electric lights and we have air conditioners and we have padded pews and, you know, we have a lot of things that they did not get to enjoy, and they may be surprised by some of those things. But I think if the disciples were here tonight, they would have enjoyed the songs that we sung. If the disciples were here tonight, would have enjoyed the testimonies that we shared with one another. If the disciples were here tonight, they would be pleased that we took an offering and gave people an opportunity to give of their tithes and their offerings to God. If they were here, I'd hope they enjoyed the fact that we set aside a good part of the service to preaching from God's Word. And I think they would enjoy the singing and the preaching and the praying and the giving that goes on today. I don't think there's anything wrong with the New Testament church. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." You and I are that candle. The candlestick, as it talks about in the book of Revelation, is the church. And what the church's responsibility is, one of the responsibilities we have as a church, is to help the candles shine bright. God didn't light us to be put under a bushel. I don't think lit is a word. He lit us. Is that right, Linda? He lit us so that we could shine. And he puts us in churches so that our light can shine brighter. And that's what we are supposed to do to one another. When we come into this place, we're supposed to stoke up the flame that's burning on the end of our candle so that the world can see our light and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. That's why the book of Hebrews says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we ought to exhort one another and provoke one another to love and good works as we come together. And that's one of the things that we do here. And so I don't think back on that night when those men went fishing, there was any problem with the boat. And I don't think there's any problem today that with the church that keeps us from bringing other people to Jesus Christ. I don't think there's any problem with the New Testament church that is a hindrance to us as we go out and try to let our light shine before men so they can see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. There was nothing wrong with the boat. Number two, I'll point out to you, I don't think there's anything wrong with the net. I think the net that they were using that night, it didn't have holes in it. I mean, they didn't not catch fish because the net was holy. I mean, we read about it when they threw it on the side of the ship that Jesus told them to throw it on. They caught 153 fish. I mean, so many fish that they couldn't pull the net up into the boat. There wasn't anything wrong with the net. I think the net represents the gospel. And I will tell you tonight, there is nothing wrong with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has existed forever. It will exist forever. And it works just as good today as it did back in the New Testament church. And it will work just as much 100 years from now if we are still here then, if the rapture hadn't occurred and the world still exists. It will work 100 years from now just as good as it is today. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." There is nothing wrong with the old gospel net. People today have a lot of new ideas. I talked about some of them this morning as I talked about the different counselors that people have, tries to tell them how to get to heaven. Talked about, they have an idea, if you're good, you can make it to heaven. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, the Bible says. Some people think you got to join a church or get baptized to get to heaven. I think joining a church is a good thing. I think getting baptized is a good thing, but joining a church and getting baptized will not get you to heaven. Some people think that they can just live a lifestyle, and I believe you ought to live a good life, but they think that they can get to heaven by living the right kind of life. And I'll just tell you, all those are holy nets. If you're depending on those kind of gospels to get you to heaven, they have a lot of holes in them, and you will slip through those nets and end up in hell. You will not get to heaven by believing on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same gospel that the disciples preached, and the same gospel that Paul preached, and the same gospel that has been preached from that time to this, the same gospel that we preach today, still is the only one that has the power to save. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And we need to keep telling men and women, boys and girls, that everybody's a sinner. And we need to keep telling them that the wages of sin is death, separation from God. We need to keep telling them that there's nothing that they can do to pay for their sins on their own. We need to keep telling them that God loved us so much that when we were yet sinners, He sent Jesus Christ to die in our place. He who knew no sin, He who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He who was perfect in every way, who God said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He went to the cross, and the Bible says that God laid on Him the iniquities of us all, and by His stripes we are healed. And we need to, that's the old-fashioned gospel. And it's just as powerful today as it was when Paul preached it. It's just as effective today as when Peter preached it. It still works today. It'll still save men and women. There is nothing wrong with the net. Number three, I'll point out to you, there's nothing wrong. There was nothing wrong with the fishing hole that they were at. Nothing wrong with the place they were fishing. The Sea of Galilee supported, again, James and John and Peter and Andrew. It supported their dads. It supported their grandpas. It probably supported their great-grandpas. It's still supporting fishermen today. There's fish in that lake. There was fish in that lake. There will be fish in that lake. Some people say today, there's no fish to catch. I don't believe that. I believe there's fish to catch everywhere we go. I believe you'll run into people tomorrow that need to know Jesus as their Savior. I believe you'll run into people on Tuesday that need to know Jesus as their Savior. I believe you'll run into people every day this week, either in a group that you go to socialize, a place that you go to work, wherever you go to school, in your family, that are lost, on their way to hell, need a track, need somebody to tell them the gospel, need somebody to tell them about Jesus. There's nothing wrong with the fishing hole. There are still men and women and boys and girls that need to hear the gospel. And there's nothing wrong with the fishing hole. Number four, I'd point out to you, there's nothing wrong with the time they went. I'm not a fisherman. Never have been. Probably never will be. I don't like the feel of worms. I just don't. I don't like the feel of fish. I mean, I've gone fishing, and you know, I've always tried to get somebody else to put the worm on the hook. I've always tried to get somebody else to take the fish off the hook. I just don't like to fish. But people tell me, you know, one of the best times to go fishing is at night. That's when these guys went. They went at night. They fished all night. I've heard people say, you know, this is not the time to win souls. We live in an enlightened age. And people today are just so hard. We're living in a day of apostasy. This is just not the time to go fishing for Jesus. Well, I would tell you, now is the time. Today is the day. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to tell men and women and boys and girls about Jesus Christ. I mentioned this morning, I was talking to a guy that I roomed with in college, and he was telling me they had a revival at their church about 2 months ago, and his cousin came on Monday night and got saved. And he said, Daryl, you'll never believe it. He said, by Saturday night, by the end of the revival, my cousin had brought 32 people to the meetings, and they all got saved. Hey, this is the time. This is the time. This is the time that we can catch fish if we'll get busy at it. So, there's nothing. Nothing was wrong with the boat. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. But nothing was wrong with the boat. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. But there was nothing wrong with the net. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. There was nothing wrong with the place where they were fishing. They'd fished all night and caught nothing. There was nothing wrong with the time that they went. Well, if there was nothing wrong with any of those things, what was wrong? What prevented them from catching fish? You see, the problem wasn't the boat, the net, the hole, or the time. The problem were the guys in the boat. Huh? Who was in the boat? Let me just remind you. Simon Peter. He said in verse 3, I go a-fishing. A lot of people read that and think, well, Peter just needed to relax a little bit. He didn't understand what was going on. His Lord had been crucified. He'd come back to life. He'd appeared a couple times. And I don't think Peter was saying, well, I'm just going to take a little vacation from this discipleship business. I think Peter was saying, I'm going to go back to what I knew. This preaching business, I mean, they hang people on a cross. They beat people. I'm going to go back to the way of life that I knew. I'm going to go back to being a commercial fisherman. I'm going to go back to the way of life that I used to have. You know what they call that? Backsliding. Backsliding. He's sliding back to what he knew before. He's sliding back to what he did before. And notice what happened. When Peter says, well, I'm going to fishing, all these other guys said, well, we're going with you. Just reminds me tonight that when we backslide, we never backslide alone. We always take somebody with us. If you're a dad here tonight, don't you get out of the will of God, because somebody in your family will follow you. If you're a mom here tonight, don't you get out of the will of God, because when you do, somebody will follow you. If you're a grandpa or a grandma here tonight, don't you get out of the will of God, because one of your grandkids will follow you out of the will of God. If you're a Sunday school teacher here tonight, don't you get out of the will of God, because somebody in your class will be looking at you and will follow you out of the will of God. Listen, you cannot be a backslider and expect to catch fish. You can't slide back and expect to reach men and women for Jesus Christ. The problem wasn't the boat, problem wasn't the net, problem wasn't the hole, problem wasn't the time. Problem was you had somebody in the boat that was backsliding to the life that he knew before, that was giving up on Jesus, that was giving up on God. Jesus was going to have to call him back into service. You see that in the last part of the chapter. Peter was going to go out and preach and win thousands to Christ, but at this particular moment, he was sliding backward and Jesus needed to come and get a hold of him and said, no, Peter, no, stay true, hang on. It wasn't the boat. It was one of the guys in the boat. Who else was in the boat? Well, the Bible names some other ones. Thomas was in the boat. Thomas, the doubter. You remember the first Sunday after the resurrection? Thomas decided to skip the church meeting. All the other disciples were gathered together on, I think it was Sunday night. And I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, so you guys are in, you're good tonight. Except for Donna, she ran a red light today. I told you I'd get you. But here's Thomas. He missed the first Sunday night church service after the resurrection. And they saw him a couple of days later, and they said, Thomas, you never believed who was at church last night. He said, try me, who was there? They said, Jesus was there. He said, nah, I'm not going to believe it. And unless I can see him and put my fingers in the scars in his hand and put my hand in his side where he was stuck with the spear. A doubter. A doubter. We will not bring people to Jesus if we doubt there is a heaven. We will not bring people to Jesus if we doubt there's a hell. We will not bring people to Jesus if we doubt the promises of God that are in this book. We will not bring people to Jesus if we doubt that that's what he wants us to do. Why don't we just start believing what God says? Why don't we just start doing what God says? Why don't we just quit doubting his word? Problem wasn't the boat, wasn't the net, wasn't the hole, wasn't the time, is you had a backslider and a doubter in the boat. Who else was there? Nathanael. You go back to John chapter 1. Philip came to Nathanael. He said, "Nate, never believe it. Guess who we found?" And Nathanael said, "Who?" And Philip said, "We've found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" He was a critic. He was, Nazareth? How can the Messiah come out of Nazareth? Jesus of Nazareth. And Philip had to say, "Come and see. Come and see." You know that criticism is one of the biggest obstacles that churches have to seeing men and women, boys and girls come to know Jesus Christ. Critics in the church don't bring people to Jesus. They're too busy finding fault. Brother Leonard, I'm going to listen to your lesson tomorrow or the next day, but I'm anxious to see what you taught this morning. You know, if you got a problem with something, change it. If you got a problem with somebody, get it out on the table. Don't sit back and criticize. Just bring it out in the open and fix it. Because criticism will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. Problem wasn't the boat. It wasn't the net. It wasn't the hole. It wasn't the time they went. They had a backslider and a doubter and a critic in the boat. Who else was there? The sons of Zebedee, James and John. They're the ones that came to Jesus with their mother, and their mother said, "Master, I have a favor to ask for my two sons." Jesus said, "What's that?" She said, "I want one to sit on the right hand and one to sit on the left hand when you come into your glory." And Jesus asked him some questions. He said, "Well, are you able to bear what I'm going to bear that would give you the right to sit there?" And James and John says, "Well, yes, we are." And Jesus said, "Well, it's not mine to give, it's the Father's to give." But see, they were seeking their own glory. They were seeking that position to be next to Christ. We will not bring people to Jesus if we seek to do it for our own glory. We will not bring people to Jesus if we seek to do it for the glory of Fellowship Baptist Church. We will only bring people to Jesus if we do it for his glory. For his glory. You see, the problem wasn't the boat. Wasn't the net. Wasn't the place where they went fishing. Wasn't the time they went. The problem were the people in the boat. They had a backslider. They had a doubter. They had a critic. And then they had glory seekers. Who else was in the boat? Bible says there were two other disciples. We could guess who they were. But you know why I think Jesus, as he wrote the Bible, as he inspired the Bible, you know why God didn't tell us who those were? I think he didn't tell us so that we could identify with them. Maybe one was me. Maybe the other one was you. Those other two unnamed disciples, what was in their life that kept them from catching fish that night? Children, have you any meat? Have you caught anything? You've been out there all night. A backslider, a doubter, a critic, a glory seeker, and two others who God left nameless so that we could identify with. See, the problem again, one the boat, one the net, one the hole, one the time. It was the problem was the guys in the boat. What'd Jesus do? He asked the question, you got any fish? Have any meat? No. We fished all night and caught nothing. Nothing. And by the way, there's nothing that discourages a church more than when they don't see boys and girls and men and women getting saved. You just think about when we've been the excitedest. Is that a word, Linda? No, that's probably... excited. When have we been excited? When we've been excited when people got saved, when people got baptized. You want to know how to keep ourselves stirred up? We just keep getting people saved and talking to them about Jesus. Jesus said, hey, you fished all night, caught nothing. Listen to me. Cast the net on the other side of the boat. Now, they didn't know it was the Lord at this point. If Peter would have been thinking, he would have thought back to the first time he met Jesus on the same sea. Jesus had used his boat as a pulpit because the throng was pressing to touch him. And he got onto Peter's boat and said, cast out a little bit. I just want to teach and preach out of your boat. And he got done teaching and preaching. He said, hey, let's go fishing. Since we're in the boat, let's go fishing. Peter said, no, we fished all night and caught nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll go out and throw out the net. And you go back and you read, I think it's in Luke chapter 5, that he went out, he threw over the net. They caught so many fish that as they put them in the boat and they called James and John and brought their boat out with them, they caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. To sink. So here it was, three and a half years later, same sea, same results. We fished all night and caught nothing. Hey, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Quit trying to do it in your will. Get back in my will. Peter, you're not going to be a fisherman, you're going to be a preacher. Thomas, you're not going to be a doubter, you're going to be a believer. Nathaniel, you're not going to be a critic, you're going to be a church builder. James and John, you're not going to do it for your glory, you're going to do it for my glory. And the other two, whoever they were, and he can talk to you and me. It's not what we bring to God, it's what God is able to do through us. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Just obey me. And they threw that net on the other side of the boat, and I'm glad God is a God of numbers. They caught 153 fish. And the net didn't break. And the Bible says they were great fishes. That means they were the little ones like I used to catch. I think they were the big ones. 153 great fishes, and the net didn't break. Why? Because they listened to the master, and they did what he told them to do. And if we want to catch fish for him, if we want to have meat in this boat, then we have to submit our will to his, just like they did. Have you any meat? Have you any meat? Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these wonderful events that you've recorded for us in your word. And thank you for the lessons that they teach us. I pray tonight that as we look at our lives, that we wouldn't identify with Peter or Thomas or Nathaniel or James and John. We wouldn't even identify with the other two in the boat. But Father, we'd look at ourselves and we'd ask ourselves, is there anything in my life, anything in my testimony that's keeping men and women and boys and girls from coming to Jesus? And if there is, please help me get rid of it. If there is, please help me get it out of my life so I can be a candle, so I can be a light, and my light can shine and people can see Christ. Father, I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray tonight they'd see that they're a sinner, and there's a penalty for that sin, and Jesus paid the penalty. And if they come tonight and ask him, he'd save them. man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, Father, somebody that's just been here for a little while, somebody that's been here forever. You know our hearts. You know who needs to receive Christ. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd speak to them tonight, convict them and draw them to you. Just bless this time with invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.